The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm bringing hassle back.
The mother boys don't know how to act.
Yeah.
Get you sexy, huh?
You ready?
Yep. We are.
You ready?
Yes. Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck. Every Wednesday at high noon. Tim, what's up?
What's up? How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. I'm doing better than just as an ice skater. That's what I am.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's really not that hard to do. I do feel like you got some real pep in your step today. What's going on?
Were you guys – I really wanted to address this. Were you guys – first off, are you guys better skaters than Chase?
Yes, but that's not saying much.
I'm
going to say Willie
barely.
Is a yes, Darren is a no.
No, that's not true. That you've never even seen me skate. Oh. You're incorrect. But it's
but let me
slight.
Tell you, I'm
you
bad.
Always
slight.
Say you hold on to the wall.
It's slight. It's
I'm
barely.
Bad. I am a bad skater. Bad.
Wait a second, Darren. You hold on to the wall also?
Yeah, I do. I can get away from it, but I do prefer to hold on.
I like to not get too far from the wall.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, have you any of you guys ever met Hal Gill? Like,
yes.
You want to like ask him
nope.
for
who's
skating
he?
Lessons?
Who's he?
have you thought about that?
Have you ever met? Do you know Hal Gill? He's got the patience of a 4-year-old. He wouldn't.
He
would
not, he be a good instructor.
No, he would be a horrible instructor.
No, I think he would. I think he would help.
He would
no.
He would throw Chase completely over the wall.
Wait a second. I feel like this is really unfair to Hal because, A, he's from Boston. Right? So right off the bat, he's probably got a ton of patience. And B, he's coaching little kids play hockey.
Yeah.
This is true.
That's true.
And we are like
right?
little kids.
Right, but he has.
So there we go.
But we're adults, and he has patience with kids,
like,
but he wouldn't with us.
He has patience with second graders. He can most definitely work with you guys.
He would shake his head and skate away from me in about 90 seconds. He would check Chase into the wall and yep. dump him over the wall.
And probably pour a beer on me.
Willie, he'd probably be a lot nicer too. But there's no doubt he would do those two things with us.
I have checked with a source. I have asked, can you confirm that Darren would be a better ice skater than me? The response I got is, that is the response.
Well, I don't know who you're talking to.
Good journalist never reveals their
they
source.
They don't know. They don't know what they're talking
All
about.
All I know is that the clip.
I think it's a good source.
From the clip from Chase, which I'm sure Tim is referring to here, it just looked like your body went boneless, man. You just went like a noodle, just a boom down on the ice. There was just no muscular
Tim
like,
was concerned.
Fortitude.
Tim said, yeah. I need to work on my ice skating, and then said that it's a lot easier to learn as a kid. I missed the boat there.
It is easier to learn as a kid. And when my kids learned, one of the things I realized, this is not how I learned as a kid, but one of the things that I realized is when you pad the kids up, like even if they're not playing hockey, you just dress them like they're going to play hockey, then they become much better skaters. Because the fear that
right.
you guys are all explaining about like getting away from the wall and stuff, when you're covered in all the equipment, that kind of goes away a little bit.
Well,
that's what I need to do. I need to get some gloves, some pads, helmet, mm-hmm. and then just flop all over the place. And
somebody
eventually
told me to hold, somebody that is in the know said to hold a hockey stick. And that if you go out with a stick, that
see, I've never done that.
It creates that
give you a little bit of balance.
The balance, but it's, and it's a false sense, but you're holding on to something and you think it's going to hold you up, and then that'll help.
Tim, this is a true story. Back in the very beginning days of the Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz, who we just had on in the last hour, who's now the head coach of the Islanders, and his esteemed staff, one of them being Brent Peterson, they invited the media to come out and basically put the media through kind of a session on ice, and they would go around and talk to us and help us. This was back in the day. And nothing's changed with my abilities or lack of or Willie's in skating, and so the media gathered.
I'm just excited we made it through that day.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. We did make it through the day, and while you poke fun of us, maybe it was because we took precautions, because there was a member of the media that thought he was cute and he was going to show everybody up and he was showing off his skill set. Well, guess what? He ended up being taken out on a stretcher to an ambulance to a hospital.
He did. Okay? And unfortunately, that was the last media
day. That was the last time they ever did that.
Yeah.
Well, and after seeing Chase the other day, they're not going to.
It's not going to. Right. It's not going to get brought back.
They're going to leave that bearing. And in all seriousness, it does give you an appreciation, especially when you think about somebody like Hal Gill, who's already like 7 feet tall. You know what I mean? So he's got to do it being his size. I remember being at Boston College, obviously a good hockey program there, and seeing some of the hockey players like playing basketball, and they were terrible basketball players. Like Brian Gionta, Mike Motto, like some of these guys that had NHL careers, and they were horrible basketball players. I'm like, man, like these guys are awful athletes. Then all of a sudden, like I watched one of their practices, and I was like, dear God, how do they do that on ice skates? Yeah. Like, and have the stick skills and all of that stuff. Now, it does give you an appreciation, and then, to bring it back to Hal, to do it at his size is crazy.
You definitely get a greater appreciation. I always tell people, if you get an opportunity to sit just one game on the glass, it's just like a football game. If you could watch one game from the sidelines, it would blow your mind. The appreciation you would get for the sport, it would change completely if you did that.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is going to be a fun offseason. I've got to be honest. This is maybe going to be an offseason we haven't seen in a long time. I mean, there's going to be real big names, I think, changing addresses. What's a couple of names and places that really intrigue you that are going to get our attention here once free agency begins?
Well, I mean, the Phillip Rivers situation, I think, is the one that we know is going to happen, right? So the Chargers are, moving on. He's moving on. And he wants to play. And I think that there'll be people that believe that Rivers can still play at a high level. So, I've seen a lot of people linking him to Tampa. I see how that could make sense. People have tried to link him to the Colts, and I don't see that as much. And then I've said to you guys in the past that a spot that I think is open without people realizing it's open is Pittsburgh, because I don't think Ben's going to be healthy. So, I think there's so much focus on, Brady and where he's going to end up and all that stuff. I think some of these other things that really are likely to change, I don't think we're paying as much of attention to him.
Is there a real shot he ends up in the Titans division, Rivers?
I don't really think so.
Indianapolis, no?
Everyone's trying to connect him because he and Frank Reich were together, but one of the things about being together with somebody means that, both guys, it has to be a net positive for both guys. I'm not positive that that's the case. So, there are some guys that are like, look, well, I'll give you an example. Like John DeFilippo, who's the offensive coordinator last year down in
Jacksonville,
people were connecting the dots with he and Nick Foles. But, I don't really think that that was necessarily something that Nick was like, oh, yeah, let's get John DeFilippo here. And then sure enough, a year later, they've since fired him, and there's a bit of a quarterback, competition going on in Jacksonville that most people didn't think there would be. So I just because you were with somebody in the past doesn't mean that, like, both parties want it to happen again. Like, I think sometimes, people, just try to connect dots in terms of where people have been. But, if the experience wasn't, a super positive one, then why would those guys want to reunite?
Yep, good point. I'm very curious to see how New Orleans handles both Hill and Bridgewater. Like, how does that play out?
Well, Hill's restricted, right?
So, okay.
You can put a tender on him that really would prevent somebody else from giving the Saints what they want for him and then having to pay him, especially if he thinks that he should be paid as, he should be paid as a franchise quarterback. I saw somebody put something out the other day. It said Mohamed Sanu has more completions than Taysom Hill. I don't know if it's true or not. It might be. Right? Like that wouldn't that make you nervous?
Well, do you think they want somebody to tender him? Do you think they want somebody to jump in there so they can be compensated for it?
They may, but so, like, what would you give up? Would you give up a second rounder and sign a guy to a huge deal for Taysom Hill? Like, would you do that?
I don't know if anybody likes him values him as much as New Orleans does, to do that.
Right. So I think that I would have to look back and figure out what they can do to him. But, like, whatever you could do, you could, like, second round tender him, I think. Or I would look at what you have to do. But so you could place, a high tender on him, which would mean you would get something legitimate back in return. And that probably keeps everyone away for a year, which maybe is all you need to figure things out with Breeze. For Bridgewater, I think it's a little bit different. I think he's an interesting guy in the sense that, he's probably smart enough to realize that, like, the situation really, really matters for him. And with that being the case, I don't know that he's just going to chase money. But I also don't think that there's – like you tell me the team that's going after him and is like, he's our starter, we're signing him to starter money right now. Like, who is that team?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have anybody off the top of my head that would be willing to do that.
I don't think there is one.
Like, okay.
I don't think Tampa's doing it. I don't think that the Colts are doing it. Denver's not doing it. The Chargers, I wouldn't believe, are doing it. If Brady was gone, New England's not doing it. Now, the team that maybe likes him the most is, again, like you said with Hill, is maybe the New Orleans Saints. But they really can't do anything until they figure out what's going on with Breeze. And how long is Teddy going to wait around for what Drew's decision is?
Yeah, it's interesting.
By the way, 6 is the number. Taysom Hill, 6 completions in his NFL career.
Hmm. We'll come back more with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side, but right now let's go down to Murfreesboro at the 5th-3rd Bank. That's where Robbie Stanley is standing by. Let's find out what he's up to.
Hey, thanks, guys. We are rocking and rolling here at the new 5th-3rd Bank grand opening of their new branch at 1861 Memorial Boulevard here in Murfreesboro. Their grand opening event is today from 11 to 4 p.m. ESPN 102.5 The Game. And myself, Robbie Stanley, will be here until 1 p.m. today. Come on out and see me. I'll be registering you to win tickets to see Journey in concert, which is always a fun time. Everybody loves Journey, or tickets for the Preds to take on the Blues this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators energy team and Nash will be on site from 3 to 4, so bring the family out to see the energy team and Nash. Come on out, enjoy some music, food, and prizes. 5th-3rd Bank also has your chance to win a $100 gift card. Join us for the grand opening celebration at 5th-3rd Bank's new branch at 1861 Memorial Boulevard. We'll be here from 11 to 1, and Nash and the Preds energy team will be here at 3. Make sure you bring everybody out to Murfreesboro here at 1861 Memorial Boulevard.
We're talking football with the one and only Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. So, Tim, I was looking, we're talking about a lot of quarterbacks, and we have been discussing almost exclusively the free agents, but what do you think is happening? What's the mindset in Carolina right now with Cam Newton, hitting age 30. We know he's got a lot of wear and tear. He's got 1 year left on his contract. They've made they're going in a different direction coaching-wise. So what do you think their thinking is right now as far as what to do with him?
I think their thinking is that if he's healthy and healthy enough to play, even at 30 and maybe a little banged up and, you know, potentially not the same runner that he once was, I think their thinking is if you're going to have Cam next year, first year of this coaching staff in Carolina, for under $20 million or right around $20 million, then you keep him for one more year and try to figure out if you want to do something, you know, again with him. I mean, I think that's what I think the mindset is in Carolina. And I think that's the right mindset, to be honest, unless there was going to be somebody that was going to give you something good for Cam. But I doubt that would happen based on his current injury situation and health and the fact that he's, you know, on the last year of a deal.
You were talking, by the way, you were right. Whoever told you that Mohamed Sanu has more completions than Taysom Hill is dead on right. It's 7 for Sanu and 6 for Hill.
So let me ask anybody with a head on their shoulders, would you sign Taysom Hill to a quarterback contract?
I love him in the role that he's in. It's such an unknown how he would be as an every down quarterback. I don't know how you can sit there and say he could be a quarterback. You just don't know. I love him in the wild card role, the slash or whatever you want to call it.
When my brother got traded to Seattle, he had thrown 29 passes, okay, which, you know, was not a lot. People were very concerned about it. The difference for him, I guess, at that point had been that, you know, Holmgren had coached him. You know, Favre was never around in the offseason and didn't play in the preseason, and so my brother – you know, would play, you know, had played basically 8 full games at that point in preseason games. But there was a huge amount of risk, and he had thrown, you know, 29 regular season passes.
Hmm. When will they actually start talking, Tom Brady and the Patriots? Like, apparently, from all reports, they haven't talked yet, right? The clock is ticking. At some point, they have to have a conversation, right?
Yeah, and I... you know, there was a deadline that was floated out there, and I don't know if it was, you know, from the Patriots or, you know, kind of how it came about, but basically, hey, like, we want to get this done before free agency. And so if that's the case, and here we are, you know, in the middle of February, yeah, I mean, it's important to try to figure it out. Now, there have been a few things leaked out there. They're willing to pay him $30 million a year and all that stuff. But, look, if he really wants to go see what else is out there, then it's probably Tom Brady's camp that is, you know, trying to slow play talking to New England. I mean, that's the move, is you just say, you just drag your feet on meeting with New England to gather information between, you know, from other people that might be interested.
If it's not Brady, who do you think would give them the best chance of going to the next step if you're the Patriots? Jared Stidham or Marcus Mariota?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would rather Marcus at that point, and I like Stidham a lot. I've probably talked to you guys about Stidham. Marcus, I mean, look, Marcus, it didn't work out here. He did win a playoff game, you know what I mean? And in that playoff game, kind of put the team on his shoulders. Marcus has good moments in the NFL. It's not like it, you know, every moment for him was a bad one. And so, with that being said, I would rather Marcus. But I don't, and I think a lot of people have said this, like, I don't think anyone thinks that they're a quarterback away in New England. You know, I think they've got a really good defense. They need to get better on the offensive line. I think they probably need a little help with wide receiver. And then, you know, the quarterback play, you know, could improve from a year ago, but some of those other, you know, pieces to the puzzle would matter. But I think they would be creative with Marcus up there, and I think New England is not a terrible landing spot for him.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us every Wednesday at noon. So Myles Garrett reinstated by the NFL. What did you make of their decision?
I almost forgot when I think Schefter had put something out that like this could be coming down the pipe. I think I almost forgot that the suspension, like, was going beyond this, you know, this past season. I think, you know, even though I guess it was indefinite or whatever they termed it, I think I just assumed, well, they're just going to sit him out the rest of this year and then they'll do it. So I guess this is what I thought would happen. I almost had to be reminded that it was kind of one of these things that was ongoing and was going to have to be revisited before he was, you know, back eligible to play. So I think it's the right decision. I think it was an awful moment. But I think by and large, you know, it was probably a little bit out of character for him and just an ugly thing to have happen, even though it, you know, I've seen it happen on practice fields. It was, you know, in a game situation, the NFL just can't have it.
How short do you think the leash is going to be for him, though?
Oh, I think now that he has a strike against him, you know, it's a little bit like the Ndamukong Suh, you know, situation where, you know, you have a strike against you, they're going to, you know, they're going to treat you differently. And, you know, or Vontaze Burfict, or, you know, I think any of these guys that have been in trouble in the past, you know, they'll be the first one to tell you the fact that you're kind of already on the wanted list. You know, now of something that maybe wasn't dirty, you know, can be perceived as dirty because of what's happened. So, yeah, I think he's, you know, probably already on thin ice.
Real quick, Tim, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the XFL. It made its debut last weekend. What do you think?
Saw the kickoff thing, and probably like everyone else, you know, my reaction was like, yep, we're going to see this in the NFL real soon. And yeah, I think the access is very cool. You know, hopefully it – I think there are things about it that I hope make the NFL pay attention and maybe loosen up on some of the things that they care about. You know, I think as far as the product goes and stuff like that, you know, you're never going to have the best of the best in a league like that. But I always like it when a guy can come out of a league like that and then maybe become a star in the NFL. You know, I don't know that I'm always going to be dedicating my Saturdays to watching, you know, essentially, you know, developmental football. But I think it probably has a place. I know that as a company, we think that it has, you know, viable staying power, and, you know, it'll rate better than, or at least it did this past weekend, it rated better than kind of the alternative stuff. And because of that, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance, you know, we see it for a while. So as a guy that played in NFL Europe, I do think it's a good thing.
You had some real pep in your step today. I think you missed us, so we appreciate that.
I have missed you guys. You guys have kind of, you know, with the football season and all the travel, you guys are really flexible with me and my timing. And, you know, I appreciate it. On a nasty, rainy February day in Nashville, I wanted to bring it.
Oh, well, you did. You did. Job well done. Thanks as always.
Hey, listen, I'll put a good word for you for skating lessons. You could buy like a 5-pack of lessons.
You're setting us up. That's what you're doing. We know how. We know what he's going to do to the two of us.
It would be like a Happy Gilmore chat.
Good stuff, Tim. Have a good week.
See you, fellas.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck. He's fantastic. Every week on Wednesdays starting at noon. Willie, you've got a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Things resume on the ice tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators take on the Islanders, and Lee Company is a big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. You'll hear them mentioned a lot during the radio broadcast that Darren will be anchoring starting tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Lee Company's got a lot of great services. Look for their display if you're going to the game tomorrow night, and you will see some of the things that they have to offer. I always emphasize the home maintenance plan, which has always been a big part of our home. It's part of our yearly routine, the yearly checkups that we get about our plumbing unit, our electric unit, our heating and cooling. You pay a small monthly fee, $8-9 a month, and in exchange for that, you have the peace of mind of knowing that, A, they're going to find the small problems before they become big problems, and if repairs do need to be made, then you will get discounts on those repairs. It's a great system. It's worked for us. We recommend it to you. Lee Company, 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
Sunday's going to be a cool day. I mean, not like temperature-wise. I don't really know. Actually, I think it's supposed to be pretty nice. But it's Hockey Day in America, and it's going to be hockey's for everyone. We're going to be celebrating that on Sunday. At Bridgestone Arena, the Predators are going to host the Blues, and 102.5 The Game is going to be a part of this celebration. Going to give you a chance to win a Team USA jersey. You can post a picture of America, of your American pride to Twitter and tag 102.5 The Game using the hashtag USA jersey. The winner will be announced on Sunday during our pregame show. It'll be the Preds and the Blues, like I said. You can go skate at the rink, that if you haven't seen, out on Broadway, out there in the plaza, Bridgestone Arena, from 11 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night on Sunday. NBC is going to be broadcasting all day from the plaza, starting at 11 a.m. Remember, they're doing a triple header. It ends with the Predators and the Blues. So it's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. Remember, a home-and-home. Preds in St. Louis. It starts in St. Louis on Saturday, a 2 o'clock start, and then the 5 o'clock start here on Sunday.
The jersey's cool. Mike Iurizioni signed it. So it's pretty cool to have an autographed Team USA jersey.
Very cool. So get in there. Remember, send us a picture of your American pride on Twitter and tag 102.5 The Game or use the hashtag USA jersey. I guess Michigan State has finally found their man.
They have. I saw that, and it's created another vacancy.
It has in the Pac-12 because Mel Tucker is leaving Colorado after 1 year. And Mel Tucker is the new Michigan State head coach.
Yeah, so Michigan State made it official. It was out there last night that his name was going to be considered, and then looks like they made it official. So
that was his first job out of school. He played at Wisconsin, so he played in the Big Ten, so he's familiar with the conference. And his first GA job was at Michigan State. Back when, no, this was even pre-Derek. Yeah, that's pre-Derek. Yeah, he was there pre-Derek. He was there in the late 90s at Michigan State.
PD.
He spent most of a lot of his career in the NFL. But Mel Tucker is set to be the next Michigan State football coach.
Did you see the top candidate to replace him at Colorado? Eric Bieniemy. The OC for the Kansas City Chiefs just won the Super Bowl.
He's got a history there.
Yeah. So
certainly does.
That could be interesting.
I would say that would be a really good hire for them.
It would.
I mean, it would get everybody excited at first, and then obviously he has to do his job. And
I wonder how, if you're him, how you weigh that, because, I mean, he's been mentioned for NFL jobs. I think everybody feels like he's on the path to be a head coach in the league. You know, does he want to go to Colorado and be a college coach and go through all that and recruiting and stuff like that, or does he want to be an NFL coach? I think that's what – or do some guys just want to be a head coach and they don't really care, so they just go with the best job that's available. But I think he's in a good position no matter what, whether he leaves or he stays, because you do ask the question, now that Andy Reid has won the Super Bowl, how much longer does he want to do this?
We talked to Barry Trotz in the last hour. And yesterday we told you that Seth Jones had ankle surgery, and he's probably lost for the season. We're like connecting all these former Predators dots. Yesterday we told you about the news of Seth Jones. Columbus is probably going to be without him the rest of the regular season. We'll find out if they can stay in the playoff hunt, in the playoff picture. Barry Trotz we talked to. Of course, the Islanders in town tomorrow to take on the Predators. And the other dot, unfortunately, up in Montreal, the captain for the Canadiens, former Predator, Shea Weber, he's also done for the season.
Yeah.
They haven't officially said it yet, but Nick Kiprios, who's usually a pretty good source, he's usually got some pretty good sources, says that it is likely going to mean the end of his season, which is...
And it's his foot.
It's a foot issue.
But there's another line in the tweet that you should pay attention to. His future is in question.
The future is in question. I don't think I would start losing sleep over that just yet, because that's been a possibility for a long, long time. What you're getting at is, if he were to retire, Shea Weber has, we know, the contract. right? Going back, we all remember the summer he signed the offer sheet with the Flyers, which was a ridiculous contract. It was a huge attempt to try to steal him from the Predators. The Predators matched the contract. I still maintain to this day, had the Predators been able to reach an agreement with Shea Weber, I'm not sure they ever make the trade for PK Subban.
Yeah.
It was that contract that was a big factor in them looking at trading him for Subban. But it's all water under the bridge now. But where it still is a factor is if he does retire, the years remaining on his contract, there's a formula where the accelerated salary cap would cost the Predators some money. So this has been a big fear, really, for a long time, because the contract goes for a long time. You know, you can't sign a 15-year contract anymore. There's still a lot of years left on that deal. However, he actually has to retire before it becomes a factor. So there's different things that can happen. A, I think Shea Weber is a competitor. He's going to try to play. So I don't know that in his mind he's saying, well, this is it for me. I don't think that's how his mind ticks. But if he is unable to play, he could still not actually retire. He could do kind of the Chris Pronger. There's a number of guys, Marian Hossa, that still technically are on the books somewhere. But their contract is short. He gets the money still. He's still trying to come back, but he fails the physical, etc. So that could at least shorten the time. But realistically, someday that might happen. He may actually retire, and it will cost the Predators some salary cap money. But I think it's a little ways off by now. It's not going to affect them anytime soon, I don't think.
At least you hope not.
Hope not, for sure. You never know. Meanwhile, I don't know if you said this yesterday, but Connor McDavid is out for two or 3 weeks.
We did.
Got hurt.
Quad injury. Got hurt in the game against the Preds on Saturday night.
Fought through it. Finished the game, but you could tell he was banged up a little bit there. That'll be interesting to see how they soldier through without him. He's been hurt before, but obviously they're a very different team with him not in there. And that's a team right on the bubble with the Predators.
Well, they won last night over Chicago.
Did a heck of a job doing that. And that wasn't all bad for Nashville, because ultimately Nashville's got to finish ahead of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Preds sit 5 points back.
But if you look, they've got four games in hand. And four.
By the way, has anybody looked
in the wild
Colorado?
Right now.
They're on the doorstep of St. Louis.
Yes, they are.
They're a good team.
Right there on the doorstep. But St. Louis has dropped, what, 7 of their last 9?
They've been a little bit
3-5-2
in
their last 10.
Yeah, they've been up and down for a while. Bennington has finally shown some signs of being human for a while. We'll see if it's just a slump and he'll come back around. But we'll see a lot about them this week. And Jake Allen has actually been playing better than Bennington of late.
I've kind of been, and I don't know how you guys feel, been of the belief that Colorado was going to win this division. Even though St. Louis has been at the top for most of the season, I just felt Colorado was going to come on at the right time, and they're going to be the one winning the Central this year. I just think they're too good.
Well, especially if this whole Jay Bouwmeester, you know, not knowing where that's going.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that could affect the team in a way. So, would anybody stand up and be like, oh, that's crazy? No. I think the Avalanche certainly are more than capable of winning the division, even though St. Louis, like you said, has been in control for basically the entire season. That certainly could change. Colorado is on fire. They had a shutout last night. What did you make? The Stars won. By the way, everybody just keeps winning. The Jets did lose, though. They lost at home to the Rangers. It was the return of Jacob Trouba in Winnipeg. That was his first time back.
Well, last night,
and
all things considered,
he was met with a mixed bag.
Yeah, because he kind of made it clear to them a few years ago he didn't want to be there. So he's an American.
Well, he's from the New York area, right?
Good question.
I think that's why he went there. I think he's from that area. I believe so. So it's more about going back
I'd have to look.
Where he's from?
Well, and they never got on the same page contract-wise. It was an issue for a while there. And so they made the swap last summer. But the Rangers and Trouba, I guess, did everybody in the West a favor. Last night, the Predators' odds of making the playoffs without playing actually went up. That's always a good thing. With Winnipeg losing, even though Minnesota won, Minnesota beats a team that the Predators need to lose as well. Who did Minnesota knock off.
Last night?
Arizona lost to Toronto. They did get a point.
They beat Golden Knights. Yeah, they shut them out.
So ultimately, the Nashville Predators need to catch probably both of those teams. And Vegas being ahead of Minnesota, I didn't mind seeing them lose, especially in regulation. So that wasn't all bad. Ultimately, it's on the Predators.
He grew up in Michigan, you can watch these all the time. By the way,
Michigan. Okay.
Yeah, so
ultimately, the Predators have to get to 93, 94 points. If they do that, I think it'll work itself out. That's my theory.
But they're playing like in their last 10, they're 5-5. They're playing 500 hockey. I mean, that's basically what it has been.
Well, you go back further than that. They're 7-7 under John Hynes.
Right.
And they got to seven. Well, they lost the first game, right? We all know about John Hynes' first game where he hadn't had a chance to do anything, right? After that, since then, at one point they won 7 out of 11 going into Edmonton. And you're thinking, okay, maybe this is the turning point. And now you lose a game where you had some misfortune, tough game, played well enough to win, got nothing out of it. And then you had a stinker in Vancouver, and now you're right back to that win one, lose one type of thing. Somewhere in here, you've got to have that good run. And it doesn't have to be 5 in a row, but it needs to be 6 out of 8, 8 out of 11. You know, you need one of those runs in there. It's doable, but they have to do it.
We'll come back and wrap up the third hour on the other side. But first, let's head down to Murfreesboro. Robbie Stanley from Morning Drive is standing by at Fifth Third Bank.
Hey, thank you, fellas. Robbie Stanley here, and I'm out at Fifth Third Bank, grand opening of their new branch at 1861 Memorial Boulevard here in Murfreesboro. The grand opening event is today from 11 to 4 p.m. ESPN 102.5 The Game and myself will be out here until 1 p.m. today. So come out and see us. I'll be registering you to win tickets to see Journey in concert, or you can see the Preds take on the Blues this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Going to be a big game at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday. The Nashville Predators energy team and Nash will be on site from 3 to 4. Come on out and enjoy some music, some food, and some prizes. Fifth Third Bank also has your chance to win a $100 gift card. Join us for the grand opening celebration at Fifth Third Bank's new branch at 1861 Memorial Boulevard here in Murfreesboro. We'll be here from 11 to 1, and Nash and the Preds Energy Team will be here at 3 o'clock. So good times for everyone involved. Bring the family out and come have some fun.
4 of 9 from beyond the three-point line at 44%, and 14 of 18 from the free throw line at 78%. Apologize on that as I got hit by a basketball during my halftime stats right in the face. So 18 first half rebounds for the Volunteers.
That was our own Vince Ferrara last night at halftime on the Vol Radio Network. They were hosting Arkansas, and we can laugh, but we probably shouldn't. Evidently, he got popped in the face and the left eye, and as you heard in the audio, he's like, oh, and I guess it was brought up in post game, and the player wanted to make sure Vince was all right because apparently it was an Arkansas player or a Tennessee player, Santiago Vescovi.
Okay, so a Tennessee player.
It was Vescovi. That's right. I know that. I should have known that. Vescovi is the guy who did that, and he came over and he apologized. And I guess
it got
brought up with Bob and Bird in the post game.
Oh my goodness!
And the players were asking if Vince was all right. One more, Elijah, give it to us one more time. Listen whenever he gets popped.
4 of 9 from beyond the 3-point line at 44%, and 14 of 18 from the free throw line at 78%.
He goes, ow.
He was saying something about a 19.
He said Vescovi came over and gave him a hug and said that it was his fault.
He's a true professional because he gets popped.
He finished
it sounds
the
like the mic came unplugged, plugs it back in, keeps on going.
Yep.
That was good. That's a pro right there.
I got to imagine, like, he had some tears welling up, some, you know, nose running. You know, when you get it in the face, man, that you automatically start crying if you get hit in the right spot.
He told me he said his words, he got blasted.
Listen.
Like he said the face. Like the face.
Face and left eye.
Have you ever gotten hit in the face with a basketball, either one of you,
from your time of playing? Are you kidding me?
I have.
It's an automatic cry.
That's an absolute
yes. You just start crying.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're not sobbing, your eyes start watering up.
You well up, for sure. But Vince Ferrara, a true professional. Like, I would be worried if that was me, because I almost did it when Hal Gill checked me into the boards at the Winter Classic.
Well, the first time or the second
time? The first time when I the second time I knew he was going to do it again at some point, so I was ready for it. The first time, not so much, and I almost said, you know, something I can't say on radio.
What?
Oh, snap. Except it wasn't snap. So if that happened to me, I'd probably be like, son of a... just go on a rant. So... Congrats to Vince.
Get one more time and play the whole thing. Let's not laugh.
Try to listen after.
Let's get the recovery time. Yeah. To your point, Chase, let's get the recovery time. In fact, let's get a clock here. We'll even do like the 5 seconds, okay? Let's get his recovery time after getting popped in the face.
4 of 9 from beyond the three-point line at 44% and 14 of 18 from the free throw line at 78%. Apologizing that as I got hit by a basketball during my halftime stats right in the face. So 18 first half rebounds
right in the face
for the Volunteers.
5.16 seconds.
5.16. Keep that in mind for Monday.
That's good.
Was it really that long?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
No, it was, yeah.
You know, he was amazingly composed when he got back on there, though.
He was.
He finished it.
I don't know if he was laughing.
That's a pro.
Instead of crying or what, but he did the right thing. He tried to play it off, but who knows how bad he was hurting.
I think this is the broadcaster's version of pop time, like how catchers have pop time. I think this is the new stat for broadcasters.
It's funny. I know that much. What's better, that or me falling on my you-know-what skating?
We don't have the visual. We have the visual have the audio.
My candidate would be, remember I did the video and got hit with the puck.
Yeah, you did get hit with the puck. That's right.
Let's just see how many views that thing has. We'll pull that out of the mothballs. This is like five years ago.
Oh, this is the one doing the stand-up in front of the glass? Did you get hit, or are you talking about when it popped the glass right behind you?
Oh, it hit me right in the... It got hit right. I got hit right in the.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you're doing it with Stu. Oh, I don't remember you getting hit in the head.
Yeah, I do.
Now wait a minute. How did that hit you?
In the head.
Nope. How though? How did that happen? Where you're standing?
The St. Louis goaltender. I think it was either Jake Allen or Brian Elliott. I'm not sure which one. They were both working out, but they were flipping pucks around. They were practicing clearing the puck from behind the net around the glass.
Yeah.
And it just went up into the net and came down through between the net and the boards.
Oh, so it popped out from the net right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure. I know you're protected. And I'm like, how did that get
to
you?
So it slowed down, but it didn't. So luckily it didn't break the skin.
Now, you're taping. You're not live. See,
No,
Vince
but I finished
live.
The report. No, we weren't live.
Use that? Or did you recut?
The slow motion is still the best in that one.
No.
And Stu's reaction, Stu's reaction is great.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, that's going to... Look at Stu's reaction.
Too funny.
It went viral. It made some... Highlight shows.
Did you
shows.
Use that?
No.
See, you should have used it.
I would have used
that. That's what you should have gone
well,
with.
That's what the people
it
want.
It got posted. Thomas Willis and company posted it, and it went viral. It did. So Vince is right there. I would have.
How bad
visual,
did it hurt?
It hurt. It didn't break the skin.
Okay.
It was like a Flintstone lump a little bit for a while there. It could have been a lot worse. We've seen
Thank
a lot
goodness
worse.
For the net.
Yeah. The net slowed it down.
I forgot about that. I thought it was, for some reason, I thought, wasn't there also one, the stand-up, where they were intentionally just firing bullets behind you on the glass? Am I just making this up, or I felt like I do remember that. I don't remember you getting popped in the head.
Well, no. Now you know.
Now you know. I know. And knowing is half the battle.
So we'll have to bring that up to Vince on Monday. He said, and I'm reading here, he sent me an email, and he said that after the game, he said after he did post-game, he said that Vescovi sought him out, and he said that he told him, I need to talk to you. And he said he gave him a big hug and said it was his fault and that he felt really bad and then explained to Vince how the whole thing went down, like how it happened. Vince, in his words, he said he was very impressed with the, you know, this young man that yeah. did that.
You got to watch out when you're on the court. I remember this, the old Barnhill Arena in Arkansas, which was a great place to watch a game. They had that place rocking. It seated less than 10,000, but they had real steep stands on each side. It was a real unique place, and that place was as loud per person as anybody. But they had the band on the court before the game. They put on a great show. The problem is the other team warming up. You're constantly weaving between cheerleaders and trombone players and clarinet players. We're trying to get passes in, whipping around. It was annoying. It's like they ignored the fact that we're warming up. And I swear I came close to hitting some people at that point. You're just trying to get the ball to the next guy in the layup line, and you're literally watching. Like, you could clock the dance team or the trombone. It could be bad.
Wow.
You're like, you guys, you're like, you know we're warming up here.
Yeah.
The ball's flying. We got six basketballs being pitched around here. You might want to look out.
Enter at your own risk.
They're like, hey, man, I got the fight song to play.
Okay.
I got to do my thing. All right.
Good luck to you. We'll come back. Fourth and final hour, we'll talk to Chris Mason, our weekly chat with him. That's next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.